All right, guys, welcome to the Campus Fellowship Podcast. This podcast will be an interview of Malia from DMAC and how she came to know Christ. So my name is Jacob. I'm the Executive Director for the Campus Fellowship Network, and we aim to equip local churches to implement and sustain dynamic college ministries whose students worship God and change the world. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm 24, grew up in Des Moines area. I graduated high school from Roosevelt, now I'm currently a student at DMAC, going for social work, and so, yeah.
Sweet. What inspired you to go into social work?
Yeah, so, I don't want to go into too many details before we dive into it.
Yeah, totally.
But, I've had experience just, like, in the foster care system, as well as just, like, family members, and I think that really, like, spurred me on into wanting to be making a difference, I think, in people's lives, too, who have been through something similar.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into your story, then.
Yeah.
So how did you become a Christian? You know, what was it like before you knew Jesus? I don't know how far back you want to go.
Yeah.
But just tell us.
Yeah. So let's go straight from, like, infancy.
Okay.
Because it kind of, jumps right into there. I was raised in a single-parent household, and I have two older sisters, and I'm the youngest. But when I was about 5.5 months old, I was actually placed into a foster family.
Okay.
There was, like, physical abuse from my biological father, and there was just, I was removed by DHS and then put into a foster family. And roughly a year later, I was reunified with my mom, my biological mother.
Okay.
And, my rights, my biological father's rights were terminated.
Okay.
And so from that, my mom and my foster parents at the time, Laura and Jamie Henderson, they had continued to be friends, from then until now.
Yeah.
So they actually introduced my mom into the church that I grew up going to until I was, 18.
Okay, yeah.
They have played a key role, I think, into just my life in so many ways, but especially just, being introduced to church at such a young age. Growing up, we went to church on Sundays. I was a part of, youth group and throughout, middle school and high school. I remember being 5 years old in Sunday school. And I remember hearing about the gospel, and I knew that being taught in a way of if you don't accept the gospel, you'll go to hell. And that was really scary for me as a 5 year old. I totally did not fully understand what that meant as far as the gospel. And I didn't understand the way of my sin. But I remember praying that prayer. And I think from then on, I would have called myself a Christian.
Okay.
At a young age, also in elementary school, I definitely was aware. We continued to go to church, and I was aware of my sin, but more of I internalized that just as deep shame. And so anytime I sinned, whether it was lying to my mom about something or getting in trouble, I thought that God was mad at me. I think probably was tied into not having a father figure, and the dynamic at home. As I grew, middle school, I actually started to get into smoking weed, I had seen my older sisters also into that, and just kind of home life was dysfunctional. And so though we went to church on Sundays, I wasn't really taught shown what it looks like to live for Christ. I think it was probably just nominal Christianity. You just go, but your heart isn't really changed.
Okay.
So that happened in middle school. Going into high school, I was just really angry at the world. I definitely believed that God was real, and I believed that, I believed the gospel, but I didn't follow Christ, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I got into a relationship my freshman year, and throughout this time I was also still hanging out with the wrong crowd. I fell into sexual sin throughout high school. and then it wasn't until my junior year of high school is when we had a big family situation happen with my sister. She actually she actually has struggled with substance abuse all throughout my life.
Yeah.
And during that time, my nieces and my nephews, her kids, were removed from her care, and my mom got temporary custody. Okay. And so through that situation, I really saw my need for Christ. I realized that I had so much that I was going through that I was just flat on my face, humbled mm-hmm. before the Lord, and I saw my need for Him. I knew that I needed His help. So I remember during that time, I just prayed a lot. And I just remember just thinking, I have no idea why this is happening. I'm incredibly grieved and hurt. Mm-hmm. And this whole situation just really is terrible. Mm-hmm. But I just there was something in the back of my head. It was just I'm just going to have faith in God that though I can't see what it's going on and why, I'm just going to trust Him. During this time, I was still, following the same patterns of, the world.
Yep.
But I remember one time I remember so specifically this one day I was so, so angry with my sister, just at everything. And I remember, I know I said I've used this word a few times, but just so grieved. And mm-hmm. it was in that moment, I had this thought, and I know it wasn't from me because I, in my selfishness, I just could not have come up with this. But I had this thought of how grieved I am by my sister's sin, and how it's affected our family. The Lord was grieved by my sin in that same way, if not more. And I remember, actually at the time, to be so transparent, I was in that situation, and when that thought came, I was currently smoking, and I was also just when that thought came, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, I was just something clicked that I was basically an idolater before God, that I was mm-hmm. seeking satisfaction. I was seeking distractions, but also just a way to escape my reality instead of truly leaning on Christ.
Yeah.
And over time, He changed my desires. My heart changed. The sin that I once was so deep into, it was no longer tasteful for me. It definitely was a process. Absolutely. It was a process.
Yeah.
Did not happen overnight.
And I think a lot of people can probably identify with praying a prayer at some point when you're young, mm-hmm. you know, just to avoid a nasty consequence called hell that is real, but mm-hmm. you know, doing it just for that reason, not even understanding that you've sinned against the Holy God, just saying, I want to get out of the bad consequence, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so that is really encouraging and really refreshing mm-hmm. to hear about. So from there, you're going to go into a lot of things of how things have changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, were you going to church still at that point? How did things change at church?
Yes. So actually, during that time of my junior in high school, I guess I should also preface what my belief about God was at that time, because mm-hmm. I had known about the abuse that happened in when I was a baby, and I just I think didn't have a good what's the word I'm looking for. Model of what a good father and a good man is mm-hmm. in my life. And so I knew that God was good from church, and I knew that he cares for me, or that he cares. Yeah, he cares for me. But it was so hard for me to believe it. I thought that he was so eager to, like, condemn me when I messed up. Mm-hmm. And that, like, really affected my my desire to go to him and trust him and, like, trust that he's good and what that means. Mm-hmm. And so so during this, we also switched churches. We ended up having to move, and we ended up moving to Norwalk, and we started going to a new church.
Yeah.
And so this new church, I knew nobody. And I went one night to a youth group event, and I met the youth pastor's wife, and her name was Cassidy Hoyt. And through that, she just became a mentor for me. I think up until this point, I didn't have accountability. I didn't have, even though I went to church, there was nobody, like, speaking into my life. And at the time, like, I wanted it that way. Mm. And I thought it was, like, yeah, I could just, like, do what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Once we moved, she started mentoring me. We read together. She spoke into my life. And then there was this opportunity to go on a mission trip to Mexico.
Okay.
That summer. At this point now, it's like my senior year of high school. She's been discipling me this whole year. And then the mission trip was for the summer after I graduated.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I don't know. I don't know if I explained that well.
No, it did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when I heard about this trip, I was really nervous. But also at the same time, I was like, I really want to go. And I didn't have the funds. I didn't have the means to do it myself.
How much was it going to be to go? Do you remember?
I think it was like $2,000.
Okay.
And I remember talking to somebody at the church, and they encouraged me to support raise. And so, like, I wrote, like, these letters and emails to, like, people from the church. And God, like, provided all the means just, like, in time for me to go.
That's great.
And so through me going down there that week with my church, Mexico Caravan Ministries is, like, a house-building ministry and a mobilizing ministry. So groups will come down from, like, the U.S., and we'll be taught about the Great Commission from, like, missionaries, a lot of teachers from Radius.
Mm-hmm.
When I went down that week, it was hard. Like, it was first time, like, really doing, like, physical labor. We built, like, these 12x12 structures for the families in need that needed a roof over their head. It was really humbling to be in, like, even though, like, where we were was, like, maybe an hour away from the U.S. border, it was very, like, a lot of poverty.
Yep.
But what stuck out to me the most was hearing the gospel in a way that it wasn't just about, like, me being saved and me going to heaven, but it was also of, like, how sweet is it that I am so undeserving of this gift of grace and to be reconciled with the God that I deserve to be, like, have eternal separation from.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but I have this command to go and make disciples as well.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that that really hit me like a rock.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of the week, they had asked if anybody was interested in interning. You could intern for like 3, 6 to 9 months to a year. And actually, a lot of people at the church in Norwalk that I went to at that time had interned. And so I was like, well, I really felt like the Lord was, like, leading me to apply.
Yeah.
And so I go back home and I tell my mom, I'm so excited. And I think she was kind of like, I think it was
like
hard
over the moon, right? You know?
Right, exactly.
No cares, no concerns at all, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. I wish. No, but she was like, my daughter's been away, like, out of the country, away from me for like a week.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me you want to go back there for a year.
Oh.
And so she's like, how about you, like, pray about it for a month? And if you still feel like the Lord's leading you that way, then I'm for it. So I did that. I waited and I had prayed. And at the end of that time, I came back to her and I was like, Mom, I still feel like this is something that I want to do. And so I think it was the spring of 2021, I ended up interning with Mexico Caravan Ministries. There I lived with like 9 other interns. So we lived in community with each other. We like slept, you know, like woke up, labored together like 24/7. I was with these people all of the time. And yeah, we had like, when these groups came down, we had a message about the Great Commission and to go send or disobey, like John Piper like teaches. And then we were encouraged to talk to like the groups of like a lot of students that came down and just to like pick their brains about it. Also part of the internship was like leading people's on these builds and interacting with the families and stuff like that. There I like grew a lot. I think it was the first time being in Christian community. And I know I just like look back and I am just, I can't think of the words. I just like am so thankful to God's graciousness and his love. Because I know that I was definitely hard to love during that time. Like, I was not easy to be around with. I think I was just, like, going through so much. And it was hard also at the time for me to, like, let people in and trust people.
So was that, like, your first experience with, like, a Christian community? Like, that's kind of pretty intense.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was.
But you're all on the same mission. You're all, like, doing the 1 year or less internship.
But just through how, like, the directors loved me and how my, like, the other interns loved me during that time was just so sweet. I was also just, like, I think just being in a different country is hard on its own, too. And so, and then to be encouraged to, like, have intentional conversations about the message made me realize that I really need to, like, I needed God and I couldn't just, like, rely on myself. And I needed God to, like, make me, help me with patience and loving my, like, brothers and sisters well. And, yeah, so through that, I think the Lord, like, just really grew me a lot spiritually and all of the things.
So as you go from there, then you come back to the States. Eventually, it sounds like you get connected to Campus Fellowship through some friends at work that you were telling me about before. So how does that mentality then, how is that transferred into your perspective, like now being a college student, now being on campus?
So since being connected, sorry, did you want me to say how I got connected with Campus Fellowship?
You can share a little bit about that, but I'm wondering, you know, you came out of the missional mentality, and now you're back in Des Moines, Iowa. It's like the sense of mission gone, you know?
That's a good question. Coming back home was hard because I really had this tight-knit community, Christian community, and coming back home, it just, like, wasn't the same. And so I struggled to feel settled in again. But yeah, through like friends at work and hearing about Campus Fellowship and some of my coworkers also like I think had an internship overseas in Egypt or something like that. And I just remember being so refreshed and so encouraged and excited that coming back home, there was a group of college students, even though at the time I wasn't in college, that had this conviction of just have been saved and sanctified and being sanctified and wanting to share that with others. That was really encouraging to me. And so, the idea of mission didn't dissipate. I definitely, I think I was more encouraged, but it did look different for me because I just wasn't sure what that would have looked like at the time.
Because I feel like so oftentimes we think mission is for out there. Like mission is what you do in someplace else. But like we know the like our own communities, our own college campuses especially, mm-hmm. They're a huge field of people yeah. who don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So as you're kind of looking forward to the fall,
yes.
What are things that you're excited for?
I am just so excited. I am excited just to go out on campus and get out of my comfort zone. And now excited kind of can change that, like, definition can change depending on the day. You know yep. what I mean? Just of, like, it is nerve-wracking. And I've learned about myself that I am a big people pleaser and I care about what people think about me. Mm-hmm. And just sharing the gospel throughout the summer, through CF Summer, has really helped me die to myself in that way and have this, like, conscious thought of, like, just thinking about how what Christ has done is stable, it's strong, and enough for me to bank my whole life on. And so mm-hmm. if I'm like, yeah, so looking towards the college on the campus and sharing the gospel with classmates or, you know, in building, you know, in the community center.
Building
whatever.
Five.
Building Five, building yeah. I was five. Like, yeah.
It doesn't have a name. It's just called Building Five for those who don't know DMAC.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, exactly. If you know, you know. but yeah, just like I'm excited to work the muscle and continue to like be reminded of the gospel mm-hmm. of like what Christ has done is sufficient for me. And not only that, but there are people out there who he also wants to bring to knowledge of him and to like, yeah, eternal life with him. So
sweet. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Last question. Are you going to fall conference?
I am. I'm planning on it. Yeah. I'm excited. I don't think I went last year.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, this is your first year, which means it's half off for first timers.
Oh, okay.
You get the 50% discount.
Hey, yeah. That's so exciting.
And if you're listening to the podcast and you think about coming to fall conference, maybe a 50% discount would be enticing to you.
Yes, yeah. Come to fall conference.
But yeah. It'd be September 19th through the 21st. So mark your calendars. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah,
and thank you guys for listening.